Thanks for tuning in to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. May the message be a blessing to you.
Well, this is my back door and at my house. And it's got that little fancy keypad on it. We bought our house about 3.5 years ago. And the people we bought it off had a special code. And Cheryl knew what that code was. I never found out what the code was. And so Cheryl did a bunch of research to be able to change the code so that they couldn't get in. And so she did. And she picked a special day in our lives as the number to kind of plug the code in. And I won't tell you what that code is because I don't want Scott breaking in tonight. But I logged that special day in our lives in my mind, and every time I went to get in the back door, I couldn't get in. I typed the code in and I'd push the enter, and it would never let me in. And so I've lived here for literally little 3.5 years in that house, and I've never been able to get in. I'd come in with Cheryl, come in the back door. We don't come in the back door very often, but I'd try to type it in. I have to go down and come in through the garage. And so finally the other day, I said to her, I said, what is the code? I knew it was a special day in our lives. Here, I'd been typing in the wrong special day. And it was another special day in our lives. And, you know, what do you know? Like, you use the right number, and boom, the door opens up. It's just a kind of a crazy concept. When you use the right code and use the right number, it begins to work. And I began to think about that back door, about something I want to talk about today, is the idea of unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer. How many of you have been asking God for something? It seems like no matter how many times you punch in the code and you think it's the right way to punch in the code and you think it's the right thing, you keep punching it in and it's just the door's not opening. You're not seeing an answer to those prayers. I'll kind of share a few verses of scripture with you. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? So crying over and over. I keep punching in this code. No matter how many times I punch it in, it doesn't seem to be opening the door. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 8, even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. The door stays shut. It doesn't seem to open up no matter how many times I cry. And even when I cry and shout and get louder, it doesn't seem to work. The door doesn't seem to open. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 13, since they refused to listen when I called to them, I would not listen when they called to me, says the Lord of the heavenly armies. Using the code, we're praying like we know we should, and God doesn't seem to be listening. God doesn't seem to be answering. Just a show of hands. You ever feel that way? You can be honest, right? You're crying out for prayer, and it doesn't work. Why is that? Why is it that we don't seem to be seeing answers to our prayers? Today I want to talk briefly about some answers to unanswered prayer. What are some of the reasons? What are some of the answers of why the door may not be opening? In the case of the back door, for me, I was using the wrong code. I was using the wrong special day. And this morning when I used the right number, when I used the right code, boom, the door opened up perfectly. And I took a picture of that to share with you this morning. When we use the right, there's some things that the Bible tells us about that are some hindrances to our prayers. And so if you've been trying to get in the back door, if you've been trying to call out and cry out to God for him to work in your life, I want to share with you some of the biblical things that the Bible says, and there's a lot of them, by the way, and we're going to kind of fly through these fairly quickly. Once again, if you'd like a list of these, just email me today and I'll send you these because you probably won't be able to write all these down in the amount of time we have together. I like what Luis Palau, he wrote, over the years I've discovered from Scripture and experience that God loves to answer our prayers. And here are five of his most frequent answers. Number one, no, I love you too much. Number two, yes, but you'll have to wait. That's that yes, but not yet kind of answer that God sometimes gives us. Number three, he says, yes, but not what you expect. Not what you expect. It may be different than what you expect. Number four, yes, and here's much more. Even beyond, this is a Solomon prayer. Remember, Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God gave him that and much more. Sometimes God answers that way. And number five, He sometimes answers, yes, and I thought you'd never ask, right? It was Elizabeth Elliot who wrote this. She said, what God gives in answer to our prayers will always be the thing we most urgently need, and it will always be sufficient. So when we pray and we ask God for Him to answer our prayers, and we bring our petitions before the Lord, sometimes God answers us in these particular five unique ways. But it will always be exactly what we need. We can trust in our Heavenly Father. Now, I do want to highlight the fact that there is a huge difference between prayer unanswered because it's not God's will, and when there is sin in our lives that violate God's word. When it's not God's will, right? Jesus prayed, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And it wasn't the Father's will. And so he accepted and he embraced what God's will was for his life. But there's a difference between we're praying and asking God for something and it's not his will, or the timing isn't right on it, or we're asking something and we're violating God's word or God's way in our lives. That makes a huge difference. So what are some of the hindrances to prayer? Well, maybe there's a sixth answer to prayer that we need to look at, and that is maybe first, number six, we need to remove some roadblocks. This seems to be a kind of a common picture right now, right? Particularly over the last several weeks, as you look at our area, there are a lot of roads I couldn't get from my house to this, to my office, and it's only 3 miles, but I had to go the long way around because for several days after the storm and the borders here, there was a tree down. We couldn't get back and forth over to Weaver Pike, you know. That's well. And sometimes what we need to do is to be able to get in, we need to remove the roadblocks. And so what are some of the roadblocks that may be happening in our lives in terms of prayer? Let me just kind of walk you through some of these and some scriptures that go with them. Number one, I would suggest unconfessed sin is a huge roadblock to unanswered prayer. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If I regard sin in my heart, another translation says, the Lord will not hear. And so anytime we find ourselves in a place where we're calling out to God, and if there's unconfessed sin in our heart, then it's a huge block. George Mueller said this, it's not possible to live in sin and at the same time, by communion with God, draw down from heaven everything one needs for this life. It's just not possible. When there's sin in our hearts and in our lives, it's a huge block to prayers being answered. Proverbs 15, verse 8 and verse 29 says, the Lord detests the sacrifices of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright or in the prayers of the righteous. Isaiah 1, verse 15 and 16, when you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash your hands yourself and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Get up, give up all your evil ways. Sin has a tendency to block our prayers from being answered. That's why when we're praying, if you ever use a model for prayer, how many of you have ever used this ACTS model, A-C-T-S? ACTS is the adoration. We should start as like the Lord's Prayer says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We should begin our prayers with a time of adoration. But it's not long till in the prayer, in this model prayer, when Jesus teaches us how to pray, that we're saying, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's the pray version is similar to it as well. It's that the prayer of the Lord's Prayer is something we remind, and we see this idea that one of the huge roadblocks is unconfessed sin. Number two is ignoring God's law or God's word. It's simply disobedience is a huge roadblock in terms of answered prayer. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24 through 28 says this, I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anguishly search for me, they will not find me. Proverbs 28, verse 9. God detests the prayers of a person who ignores God's laws. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him. When we're being disobedient, when we're ignoring God's laws, it's a roadblock, it's a hindrance to our prayers. Number three, shutting our ear to the cry of the poor. You know this verse of scripture, Proverbs 21, verse 13. Whoever shuts his ear to the needs of the poor or to the cry of the poor will also cry himself. And God says, I will not hear. As we think about all these opportunities, sometimes we have needs that are all around us, and we have an opportunity to be able to kind of help those in need, and we just refuse to help. We don't listen to the cries of the poor, and then we wonder why we cry out to God for help, and there doesn't seem to be any answer coming. It's a roadblock. Number four, wrong motives. We ask for things, but we have the wrong motive for why we're asking for them. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says this, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And verse 3, and even when you do ask God for it, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. If you check the motives in your heart when you're praying to God, Lord, Lord, would you come through with this? Would you make this happen? Would you help this to work out? What's the motive for that? Is it what we want? Are we demanding our way? Philip Graham Ryken said this, our trouble is that we so often come to God with our greeds rather than our needs. Coming to God with our greeds, what we want, rather than our needs. Already having everything we need, we pray for what we want. This becomes a source of our discontent, and we desire things that God has not promised in our lives. Oswald Sanders said this, the Bible is very clear on the reasons why prayers go unanswered, and every reason centers on the believer's relationship with God. God will not cooperate with prayers of mere self-interest or prayers that come from impure motives. The Christian who clings to sin closes the ear of God. Least of all, the will of God tolerate unbelief, the chief of all our sins. Number five, lack of faith is a reason for unanswered prayer. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you, and he will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. For without faith, the Bible tells us, it's impossible to please God. Number six, praying outside of God's will. I already mentioned that Jesus in the garden, he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. He was praying within the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. The New King James says, if we ask anything according to his will. That's when God answers those prayers, when we're praying inside the will of God, not outside the will of God. John 9, verse 31, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and those who do his will, who center their prayers within the will of God. Number seven, how about pride? Pride is a huge reason, a huge answer for unanswered prayer. Luke chapter 18 is the story of the two men that went to the temple to pray, and one was a publican, and he went and he began to pray, and the prayer was centered on himself and how good he was and all the things that he had done and the goodness and all the things that he had accomplished. And that, I don't believe that prayer in the context of it went any higher than the ceiling. But it was a big, lofty, big prayer. It sounded good, but it was all puffed up in pride. There was a sinner, who was a second person there, who just bowed his head and he prayed this simple prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Which did God hear? God, the Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If he resists the proud, and if we come into him with pride in our hearts, then God's not going to hear those prayers. Those are going to be prayers that go continually unanswered. And it's a huge reason. We have a lot of pride in our hearts, and we want God to do things. We want God to bless us so that we can be highlighted, and this can happen in our lives. And what's, again, this goes back to the motives. Pride is a huge issue. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, repent of their sins, then they will hear from heaven. Number eight, unforgiveness Now, we talked about the Lord's Prayer as one of these model prayers. The Lord teaches how to pray, and he's teaching us. We start with adoration, then we kind of move into a season of confession because unconfessed sin is a big deal. But he also leads us a little farther. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25 through 26, says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against someone else, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." Remember the Lord's Prayer? "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Sometimes we're quicker to ask for forgiveness for our own sins because we recognize it's a huge stumbling block and it's disobedient, it's outside of God's will. But sometimes those stems of unforgiveness that are deep-seated roots of bitterness within our hearts, you know what they do? It's a big tree that falls down and blocks the path of God's will being accomplished in our lives. Number 9, hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who they love to pray publicly, and they love to be seen on the street corners, in the synagogues, where everyone can see them. And I tell you the truth, they already have their reward. There is no hearing from heaven for hypocrisy." Mark chapter 12, verse 40, "Yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property, and they pretend to be pious, making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be more severely punished." God is appalled when we come to human prayer with hypocrisy. How about dishonorable behavior? Proverbs 15, verse 8 says, "The Lord detests the sacrifices of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright." Those who live rightly. When we live out dishonorable behavior, and then we try to cry out to God, "Lord, help me, do this in my, step in," and we're not honoring God with our lives, and we're dishonoring him and doing what we know displeases him, it hinders our prayers. How about number 11, failure to ask? Failure to ask. James chapter 4, verse 2, "You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it." It's that old saying, "You have not because you ask not." F.B. Meyer said, "The greatest tragedy in this life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer." How many times do we just assume God knows what's going on, God knows what all of our needs are, and he'll just take care of it, and we don't take everything to God in prayer? Number 12, lack of persistence in prayer. Luke chapter 18, 1-8, you have the story about the persistent widow and how the judge had no intention of answering the prayer, but because of her persistence. Now, sometimes we don't ask God in prayer. It's unoffered prayer is the reason why we have unanswered prayer. But sometimes we offered a prayer, but we weren't persistent in it. We didn't learn from this widow who had showed persistence, and even though she just continually bring her requests before God. That's something the Lord's been teaching me. Sometimes I pray about things, but then I just kind of fall off the prayer list. Sometimes we need to be a little more persistent in bringing those requests, making those requests known before God. Number 13, idolatry is a reason for unanswered prayer. Now, years ago, I was in Trinidad, and there's a big 90-foot monkey god there in Trinidad. If you Google a 90-foot monkey god in Trinidad on Google Images, you'll see this massive monkey that they worship there, 90 feet in the air. And it's just crazy. And we were there. I was taking a team there one time years ago, a team of students from Asbury University. And it's just hard to believe, but these people would come and they'd bow down before this huge monkey god. Well, most of us in this room here, we're not bowing down to a 90-foot monkey god, but there's a lot of monkeys on our back of things that we worship that have no business being in our worship that impact our prayer life. Ezekiel 14, verse 3 says, "Son of man, these leaders have set up idols in their hearts. They have embraced things that will make them fall into sin. Why should I listen to their request?" James 4, 3-5, and even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy with God?" And I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. These idols of materialism and things that we put up in our lives that just, you know, it's what Jesus talked about, the cares of this world, they choke out the things of God in our life. Lastly, is unhealthy relationships with spouses. Man, this maybe hits us, slaps us in the face the hardest, right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, "In the same way, you husbands must live Give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be the weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so that your prayers will not be hindered. So that your prayers will not be hindered. So the question I have for us today is this: what's hindering your prayers? Are any of these on this list that I kind of went through rather quickly today? Do any of this, you know what? The Holy Spirit, He convicts of sin. And so as I went through this list, were there any that just kind of like, it was like the Holy Spirit was right in front of you shouting out your name? That's the one I want you to look at. That's the one that's hindering the prayers. The second question is it time to start removing the barriers? What would it take to see answers to prayer if we just started looking at this list seriously and we began to just pull out that one that the Spirit kind of nudged us about today and we said, you know what, Lord, I need to get the chainsaw. I need to get that cut out. I need to stop that. So the question I have for us, what is the code to the back door that gets us into the presence of God? Use the code repent. Repent. God, forgive me. My relationship with my spouse. God, help me for the idols that I have kind of put in place of you, the things that I've given first place to rather than my relationship with you. And God, for any unconfessed sin in my life, or Lord, any unforgiveness that I'm withholding from someone who deserves it. Lord, I pray that you wouldn't be like me trying to get in my own house and trying to get punching in the code and it just never, ever working and just we're seeing unanswered prayer. But we would realize these are things that are keeping us from entering into the joy and the fullness of the Lord. So what are you praying about? What's keeping God from answering? Now, it could be we're seeing an answer to prayer because it's one of those things that Lewis Palau talked about in the first five things. No, not yet, or, you know, yes, but you're going to wait a little bit, or it's not my will. I need you to bear with this. But all I know is this, number six in that list that I added about removing the barriers, like the first five, are, God is supreme. God is sovereign. God is in control. I can't change God's mind on that, but if there's something that's he's not answering right now because of something in my life, I want to take care of those so that he has the freedom to speak into my life and to see some answers to prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this simple challenge today would encourage our staff. As Lord, I know in a group like this and online, there are people praying all kinds of prayers. Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us today about anything that is hindering the answer to those requests. I pray you'd help us to get the chainsaw out and begin to cut away those things and remove those barriers so you can speak to us and that we can see answers to prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.